Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on Wednesday, February 26, 2014. What a day. We finally had that little bit of a pullback today in gold. Not much, down $13. They tried a little bit harder. A low of 1321, and we're 1329 currently, 1329 on the New York spot price, down 1310. Silver is down 67 cents, a little over 3% at 2132. Platinum was down 12 bucks, 1434. Palladium was down 6 at $734. The USDX today was up a little bit, 0.27. at 80.40, and of course our dollar is stronger only because of the world currencies falling. So, you know, it's really kind of funny. It isn't if you have your money in dollars, but or if you have if you're doing any currency trading, and you know, but it's just part of the illusion, Al.
I know. It's part of the illusion, and it's also, you know, one of the other things you can think about is you buy low and you sell high, and we talk about that on the program. It's fundamental formula for investing. Buy low, sell high. Right? Just obvious, simplistic, and the rest of it. But if you're going to buy low, you're going to buy when everyone else is thinks it's not a good buy. If you're going to sell high, you're going to sell when everyone else thinks it's it's really valuable. When you see the U.S. dollar going up, it's evidence that the herd actually believes the dollar is becoming more valuable. Now, it's really been holding between the 80 and 82 for
a long time,
quite a while now. But regardless, you see these moments when they're all buying it. It's as if they, I'm going to get the dollar. You know, for me, when it goes up, that's just evidence. That's what the herd says right now, and it won't be a good choice. Inevitably, if you're going to buy low, you buy when almost no one else is buying. The herd is not with you. If you sell high, you sell when everyone else is buying. The herd is not with you. You are necessarily a contrarian if you're going to make a profit in the markets.
We had the U.S. markets, the paper markets. Speaking of paper, you had the Dow up 20 points at 16,200. Nice round number. NASDAQ was up 4, a little over 4, at 42.92. And the S&P was up 4 at 18.45 till escaping the high on the S&P that was touched a month or so ago. And it's interesting because you have the NASDAQ, yes, that topped out at 5,000, and here we are at 42.92. You know, you'd think they'd be paying a little bit of attention to those numbers and bragging about that, but perhaps they'll need to get it just a little bit closer to 5,000 before they can, you know, it's funny, they don't talk about the NASDAQ whatsoever, so just sort of interesting. But we got a lot of things to talk about today. There's some jobs that people can apply for that we have an announcement for. And
are we hiring?
We're not hiring, but Atlantic.
Oh, we're not hiring.
We're not hiring. Other people are hiring, and we'll get into that. But today, the Pennsylvania auditor, he sounds the alarm bell over underfunded municipal pension systems.
Oh, my goodness. There's a news story.
Isn't that a news story? It just goes to show.
I haven't heard anything like that.
Can you believe this?
Yeah. Imagine, here in the United States of America, a pension system that may be in some jeopardy. I'm shocked.
And this is even after Harrisburg is bankrupt. You know, I mean, it's like, okay. And it just goes to show you these people... you know, where do they come from, and how do they get into these positions of? But anyway, you have the you know, he says pensions costs for local government workers will push municipalities into bankruptcy and spur tax increases if policymakers do not make changes. And that came from Pennsylvania. I even hate to say I'm from Pennsylvania's Auditor General. Pennsylvania's approximately 1,200 municipal pension systems are underfunded by billions of dollars, and their commitments are at risk if a Pennsylvania municipality follows the path of Detroit. And that's Auditor General Eugene D. Pasquale's report. And he's looking to call. No, this is interesting. He called for the municipal pension system to switch new hires into 401k style retirement plans, and to make changes to try to lower pension obligations to future employees. So, folks, you know, they're going to be messing with your pensions. They're going to be messing with your retirement plans. And what they want to do is, barring high amounts of an employee's overtime pay from influence their pension obligations, it's all that overtime work that you do. You're not going
to
get
to put people on salary then.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to pay them by the hour. We'll put them on salary.
Yep.
Or we can squeeze 60 or 80 hours work out of them every week, but they still get a 40-hour salary.
And I'm not quite sure if you're a part-timer, how the I don't know how part-timers would affect the overtime pay, how it works for them. But and also adjusting age and service requirements for retirement eligibility to account for increased life expectancy. So, you know, instead of retiring prior to 65, you're going to have to be 95.
So we're not, are we, is this to compensate for longer life expectancy or for shorter or for smaller pensions? What are they really compensating for here, Melanie?
Yeah.
Shorter pensions.
Both.
And smaller pensions. That's what they're shorting. That's maybe both, yes. That would be the answer, I guess. But
thank you.
This is evidence, again, it's not a new story. It's evidence that the government has been, you know, we can put a word on it. We can say they've been lying. We can put a word on it, say they've been overly optimistic. We can say they've been mistaken, unfortunate, whatever. But the idea is this. They talk people into working now for pay later. All right? And all by itself, that's what the pension is all about. You hire on in a particular job, and part of the reason you justify working there is because they've got a great pension system. This is just too good to pass up. It means you won't really be making as much as you're worth right now, but you're going to reap the benefits 20, 30, 40 years from now when you retire. That's the theory. Except for one problem. They aren't going to have the money to pay your pension. And there's a lesson here. And the lesson is you need to think when you're working, you need to be paid for your work. Not paid with a promise, but paid, as in paid now. All right? If you're willing to accept the promises, oh, we're going to take, we really like you people, and we're going to take care of you. We're going to have pensions, and you're going to have a golden years in your retirement. Everything's going to be cool. You just work for us now for a minimum wage, and you'll do great when you retire. Well, it's foolishness. It's foolishness, and it's part of, it's another illustration of something we talk about on the program from time to time, and that is the difference between a payment and a promise to pay. And when you're taking that pension, you're just getting a promise to pay. It's work now, work for me now, and I promise to pay you 20, 30, 40 years from now. That's part of it. I mean, I think everyone understands what I'm saying. And you can, once you grasp that idea, that you have to be careful about these promises to pay, because the promises probably won't be kept. Some of them will, but most of them won't. A majority of them probably will not be. And what is the fundamental? That's when we talk about the promise and the immediate payment, and the average person sit back and say, okay, I'm going to get rid of these promises. I don't want a pension fund. What I want is immediate payment now for what I'm worth. Not promises from the future. But even then, take it another step. When you're taking Federal Reserve notes, you're being paid in those forms. Ultimately, it is just a promise to pay. If you want a real payment, you get something tangible in your hand. Now you have been paid. When you're holding those pieces of paper, you only have a promise to pay. And the lesson of the pension funds, the promises are going to be broken. And the implication is, the same thing is probably true with dollars. And it really is, because we've lost 95% of the value of the dollar since 1971.
Well, what's it take for people to wake up and understand that, hey, you're not going to have 2 years from today what you have now? I mean, what's it take for people? We talk about this day in and day out, day in and day out, and people still don't grasp.
They don't mind. They don't mind. They're not concerned about it, because at least up until now, the losses haven't generally been major. For example, insofar as the Federal Reserve, they at least claim that they're going to try to hold inflation to 2.2%.
Yeah, go to the store lately.
I know, but just the same, it's not, the inflation is not so much that it causes people to be ready to step out onto the streets and demonstrate a riot. They're a little bit annoyed by it, but it's not driving them, it's not infuriating them.
No, there's still too much money in this country.
But time comes when the inflation rate goes up high enough, and all of a sudden you see the price of groceries increasing by 10% a week or even a month. And all of a sudden, I think at that point, we're going to have some people that say, whoa, what's happening? We're getting beat out of our money. And that's what will be happening. You'll be taking your pieces of paper, and it will be deteriorating in value almost before you can spend it. This is by means of inflation. This is exactly what happened in Zimbabwe. People would get, they'd sell something for 100,000 Zimbabwean dollars at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they'd have to sell it. They sell something for 100,000 Zimbabwe dollars at 8 a.m. in the morning, and they've got to buy something before noon, because if they wait until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that 100,000 Zimbabwean dollars will have lost so much value, it might only be worth 50,000 in purchasing power as compared to just that morning.
And how do you think a lot of those families survived? Grandmothers sent their grandchildren out to the rivers and they panned for gold, mm-hmm. hoping they could find some gold, and that gold that they did find bought them the bread that they needed. And yep. I mean, these stories aren't made up, folks. I mean, yep. it's real. And you'll be hoping that you have your gold so you can buy yourself a loaf of bread. But you know what? Bank profits hit an all-time high. Now you think, well, gee, and again, I'm going to bring up, I saw a client's statement for $250,000, and he made, what, $20
yeah.
on a year? So banks are making hit all-time high on their profits, but yet our interest rates that we're paid, they have our money basically for nothing. Mm-hmm. But today the federal Deposit Insurance Corporation said that the lenders are at an all-time high for 2013. The nation's banks made a collective $155 billion. That's up from 10% from a year ago, and it was more than $148 billion the banks made back in 2006. So they're actually making more now than they did prior to the crisis in 2008. For the last 3 months, the banks made $40 billion and just in the last 3 months of 2013. That was also an all-time high and rebound. Bank profits were down in the second and third quarters of the year. So profits were down. So they made all this money in two quarters. They did, though, the FDIC did note that a large portion of the bottom line, now this is interesting, came from an accounting maneuver that other regulators have cautioned about. In the fourth quarter, the FDIC said 20% of bank profits came from putting away less money to cover future lending losses.
Which means more risk.
Uh-huh. And, of course, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency had questioned whether banks are lowering their reserves for bad loans too quickly. And they also zeroed in on the list of the problem list. The banks dropped to 467 at the end of 2013. And this is the smallest that the list had been since the financial crisis in 2011. The problem list bank was, and actually peaked in 2011 at 888. But my question is, did these banks really turn around, or did the list shrink due to consolidation?
That's
banks
part of
being
it.
Absorbed. I'll guarantee you that's a main part of it. So these banks just didn't clear up their problems. They were bought out.
They have concealed their problems. Here's one of the problems. We've got an article here.
And then they're making this money, so why aren't these banks loaning money?
Well, because...
I mean, they haven't changed the Fed fund rate. That's still next to zero. So if they're doing so hotty-totty, why aren't they paying more and why aren't they lending more?
Well, the reason they don't want the higher interest rates is because the government is so deeply in debt, it can't go any further into debt without... It can't absorb... It can't easily absorb higher interest rates when government goes into debt, and I think that's the reason they're holding it down.
So
it's an accommodation to government, but it rips off anyone who's got money to lend. If you've got currency, you're going to lend it at essentially no interest. You're going to lose. If you're a creditor, you're going to lose. The only people that are making out now are the debtors and the people who are managed who can persuade a bank to lend them some money. They're getting over, in theory. At least for now. But the creditors, the people who have been sensible and saved their money in form of currency in the bank, they're perhaps lending, and they're getting nothing in return. They're being beat up by inflation. We're going to get beat up by some commercials. We're going to take them right now. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, if you're looking for a job, you can go to Atlantic City, Golden Nugget Atlantic City. No, you don't go there to gamble, but you can go there for a job. There was 1,000 hopefuls lining up this morning hoping that they could, or betting that they could, land one of the 50 jobs the casino planned to fill at an emergency. What they called it was an emergency jobs fair. The Golden Nuggets business had picked up significantly over the last month, due in part to the closing of the Atlantic Club Casino Hotel in January. So a lot of those customers migrated over to the Golden Nugget. So 50 jobs and 1,000 people.
20 to 1.
And
what does that mean? Besides, it implies that there's a great deal of unemployment. When you got 20 people showing up for a single job, that's one thing. But it also tells you that if there's 20 people looking for the same job, it tells you that the demand for the job is so high that the corporation can reasonably pay less to get an employee. It's evidence that wages are going to fall. There are too many unemployed, too few jobs. People will take anything they can get for work at almost any rate. And the casinos will be able to get away with hiring people for minimum wage if they want to. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but they can hire them for less than they have perhaps paid a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which means standard of living, even if you get a job, standard of living is going to be reduced.
And if you're a used car salesman, CarMax, a used car dealership chain, says it plans to hire more than 1,200 workers across the country. They are a Richmond-based company. Their positions will include sales, service operations, purchasing, and the business office. They're going to look for both full-time and part-time positions. Some of the areas where the large number of sales opportunities include Albuquerque, Hartford, Connecticut, Baton Rouge, and D.C. and Baltimore area. CarMax has more than 18,000 employees and operates more than 125 used car superstores, but you have to have a computer because they're only accepting applications online. So Lord knows how many applications they'll get online, you know, 5,000, 10,000. So quite a few to fill those 1,200 positions. On the other side of the coin, you have Sony. They're going to close two-thirds of U.S. stores as part of their major restructuring. It says that 1,000 of the previously announced 5,000 job cuts would come from its Sony Electronics unit, mainly in the U.S. and Mexico. The cuts are to take place before March 2015. Yeah, they don't want to have to pay Obamacare, do they now? And the closings affect 20 Sony stores in several states, including 5 in California, 2 in Virginia. And it's going to keep open 11 Sony stores in its flagship store in New York, California, New York, and Florida. And so you have two places laying off. And
CarMax is hiring.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean? I'd like to understand that more clearly, because my first guess is that what it means, it doesn't mean that there's necessarily more buyers, but it may mean there's more sellers of used cars. They have a larger inventory. You know, you've got a chicken egg thing, which came first, the buyers or the sellers. They both have to meet and they have to match up to some degree. But if they're going to increase their sales force dramatically, it means that there are more people buying used cars. That means they're not buying new cars. And it also means there are more people selling the cars that they have. And I'm going to speculate that the people selling the cars will say, well, maybe they're selling the second car. All right? Maybe that might not be their number one car. But are they selling it because it's wore out, it's no longer fashionable? Are they selling it because they need the money to make ends meet? You follow what I'm saying, Melody? It's another one of these. We're talking about used cars. The sale of used cars, at least for CarMax, is increasing, but that means the sale of new cars has to be decreasing, and it also makes me wonder, why are some people selling their cars to CarMax so CarMax can take or can turn around and sell them to someone else?
Well, I think also because, they have lowered the credit they're lowering the credit scores for people to get loans.
Yep.
And
okay.
So I believe that, you know, a lot of people are buying new cars and then they dump their used cars. So, and hey, if you're going to have, look at the locations of these places, Albuquerque, I don't know about Hartford, Connecticut, but I know they have a lot of foreigners in those areas. I think you're going to have, if they pass this amnesty, there's going to be a lot of people looking for used cars. So, I don't know, maybe they're a little ahead of the game.
Especially if they've got those hydraulic systems in them where you can make the, you can make them go up and down.
Yeah.
You'll get a premium. Those of you, if you want to make sure you can sell your car top dollar, make sure it's got one of those hydraulic systems, make it bounce up and down, because the illegals, they go for that.
But it could be a number of reasons why we're seeing the increase in used cars. But you also had, I wanted to just target today because they had that problem with the personal credit card data from that was stolen. Millions of people.
100 million, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
From
I even
Target.
Saw numbers of 200 million. I saw huge numbers, but their profit dropped 46%.
Their profit dropped 46% in what period of time?
That's in the fourth quarter, fell 46% on a revenue decline of 5.3%. It's kind of baffles me because why would you punish Target if you're a Target buyer? I mean, you can go online and have the same thing happen, and most people who are using their credit cards probably buy things online and everything. So, you know, it's just...
It's just like one of those things. It's like what makes some things go viral and other things do not. There's a certain amount of unpredictability and irrationality in what happens in the world today, and it has to scare people in positions of power. I mean, the herd is moving at times in directions that don't make much sense. They may not be moving far, but all of a sudden, whoop, they just jump to the left or they jump to the right. And it's like, holy cow, what is the herd doing out there? It does not inspire confidence, doesn't inspire, you know, trust. It's the sort of thing that creates a certain amount of wariness.
Oh, and there was one more place where folks could get a job. I didn't want to forget this. Obama's asking Congress for $300 billion for road railway work. He says that will help to put people to work.
Well, same thing that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did during the Great Depression. They had the CCs, I guess it was CCCs, I can't remember the name of it, but Conservation Corps something. Maybe Community Conservation Corps, something. I can't remember this. I think it was CCC, but they took the opportunity when labor was cheap, because we're in a depression, to rebuild the infrastructure in this country, which was a good thing. You know, ultimately, it was based on misfortune. But they took the lemons and they made a little bit of lemonade, and they're going to try to do the same thing here. And it's interesting to see that he's paralleling what FDR did during the Great Depression. Does it imply we're in a depression right now?
Well, actually, they did have I can't remember the title of the program that came out after 2008, Restore America. Where, you know, money was given to build bridges and so forth. And I talked to contractors who worked on these and says they're nothing more than just painting the bridges.
Yeah.
You know, the money was being distributed. They did a little bit of drilling and you know, scuffled up the road a little bit, and then they put everything back together and painted it, and it all looked like, you know, a lot of these communities was just taking the money, and that's what they were doing. And, you know, there's just corruption everywhere. But what's interesting
but it's also, on another level, instead of giving money to the banks, the money really did get into the hands of ordinary people, at least for a while. I mean, if they're going to paint the bridge. I guarantee you it will not be the elite. It won't be the PhDs and the, you know, the engineers and so on. They're not the ones that are going to paint the bridge. It'll be some guy who's got a wife and three kids, and he'll be glad to have a few bucks an hour in order to paint the bridge. Fine. You know? At least it got down to the people who need the money.
It got down there, but by deception.
I agree. The whole thing's it's an illusion. And it's part of the reason why I have no confidence that they're going to be able to hold this system together indefinitely. There are so many lies that are inherent in the system that sooner or later they have to come out in a way where the public reacts to them. In the same way we go viral again. Talk about going viral. All of a sudden people say, oh my gosh, I'm shocked, I tell you. You know, the government is lying about the inflation rate. It's not news. It's not news, but it will be news when everybody all of a sudden says, oh my gosh, you won't believe this. They're lying about the inflation rate or the unemployment rate or the money supply or whatever else. You know?
Well, what's interesting about this, too, is I didn't realize we had a highway trust fund, and that is what's supposed to go broke come this August or September, where they say 700,000 jobs could be at risk unless it's renewed. But this highway trust fund, it's that finances the federal highway and transit projects. And so,
what do you think the chances are that it'll go broke?
None.
You think there's no chance?
No, they'll get the money.
I'm not too sure about that.
Are you kidding? If you listen to any of these East Coasters who drive through Washington and New York, all they have been doing is complaining about the potholes. You know, they'll drive through a pothole and they'll get a flat tire. They'll get the money, and that's where all the money will go to repair all the potholes in the Northeast because of all this bad weather that we've had.
I'm not, well, it may be true, but I'm still not saying, I still say it's not a slam dunk because they're talking about a dramatic cut in the size of the military. That's, to me, the last thing they're going to do unless they are, unless they're not going to do cut the military unless they are really strapped financially. And if their finances are so squeezed right now that they're willing to cut the military, then I think they may be willing to, one way or another. I won't say that this trust program, this highway trust program, will be destroyed, but it may be diminished dramatically.
Well, Obama's asking for 300. The trust is asking for 100. So, you know, maybe they'll get 50. But
yeah, that's the sort of thing I'd expect here. This is going to be, you know, the government's going broke. And it's again, that's not news. Part of the evidence of that is that 70 to 80% of the U.S. treasuries, the bonds that have been sold in the last year or so, have been sold to the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve doesn't turn around and sell them to somebody else. They just sit on them. All right? If I were investing in a stock, I go out and I put $100,000 into a particular stock. Well, I might sit on it for a while, but I'm looking for an opportunity to sell that stock for $120,000. And when that opportunity presents itself, I'm going to sell that stock. Federal Reserve is buying these bonds, but it's not selling the bonds. Why? Because if they sell them on the open market, they're going to discover they've got $100,000. They paid $100,000 for a bond to the federal government, bought one of their bonds, and they're going to discover when they try to sell it that no one's willing to pay more than maybe $60,000 for that bond. And it will create evidence that the bonds are not worth. Face value may be $100,000, but the bond itself is only worth $60,000 on the open market. They have to keep these things hidden. It's part of the lie. It's part of the illusion, manipulation. And how long can it continue? But a point to all of it is the feds are going broke. The only one to bail them out right now is the Federal Reserve, and that's because the Federal Reserve can just print those dollars. That's like me writing non-sufficient fund checks. All right? And someone say, oh, I'm rich. I've got 100 of these checks from Al Addisk. They're all NSF, but we've got these checks, and as long as we don't try to cash them, we can pretend they have value. We can claim their assets. Go ahead and try to cash one. See how good it is. So they're caught. These lies are catching up, and they're coming at the same time that they are running. COMEX is having a problem, trying to satisfy the physical demand for gold. And the system that they've been running for a decade or more, using paper to suppress the price of gold, it's now coming back to haunt them. That lie is breaking down, and that's what it was. It was a lie, and it's on the verge of failure. It may be several more months. I don't know when it's going to happen. But it's certainly close enough to consider at this time. And if and when COMEX fails, then all of a sudden we begin to find out what the real price of physical gold is. The lies are breaking down, and the system is based on lies. And when the lies collapse, the system will probably follow. I'm Alfred Addisk with Melody Cedarstrom here on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We got a caller, Dave from Michigan. What you got for us, Dave?
Hey, Al and Melody. Three quick things.
Dave.
Last week, Wendy Wilson kind of danced around it, but that NBC article that I sent Melody, it said that if you're on Medicare and you get sent to a hospital, say chest pains or grandma, grandpa, even this lady that broke her leg, if it's under observation, they won't pay for rehab. But you have to make sure that when they take you in, the word admitted has to be there. Otherwise, you could be there like this lady for a week with a broken leg, and when she went for rehab, $28,000 or something, they wouldn't pay it. They got the bill and almost fell over. So that's the magic word is admitted. And the second thing is if a bank can loan out $9 for every dollar they take in, and they get 5% for, say, like a mortgage, or up to 28% for a credit card. So there's a dollar that's being used towards credit card times 9, times, you know, 28%. How are these banks not making money?
I understand. You know what? We understand a little bit about the banking procedures and how the money functions in the banks. We don't actually have really solid information, I certainly don't, on how much money is being made, but it seems that the potential, just as you're describing, is almost phenomenal. And you got to wonder, you know, how much are these people really making, and what's happening to the money, and how much do they pay in taxes, how much gets hidden, and how much gets shipped to foreign countries, how much is reaching the American people? I don't doubt that one way or another, the American people are taking some liability for what's being deposited in those banks, and yet I don't think we're getting the benefit out of it.
No.
What else do you have for us, Dave?
Number three, today I just sent to Melanie, there was a drug lord down South America, beautiful home. Every door and closet you open up, $100 bills. They claim they confiscated enough money that would pay for every man, woman, and child's health care in the United States for the next 12 years. Now let's see where that money goes.
Yep. Yeah, well,
See, when you see that, Melanie, this guy had gold-plated machine guns and a cavern made like stalactites and stuff for a hot tub area. It was just unbelievable what this guy had on the drug money. And
wow.
I heard once that this lady said that all our tax money went to England, then went to the Vatican, and then they they asked, well, how do they run the U.S. government? This is on drug money. So, you know, who knows? But as long as you say I'm broke, you might lend me a dollar. But if I'm flashing 50s and I ask you for some money, you say, you got him, right? So just like these roads, let them get so bad that the people are willing, okay, you're ruining my car, I guess you got to raise my taxes. And as long as you cry poor as a government, you can fleece these people.
Yeah, he's right.
Are you familiar with the CAFR reports, Dave, C-A-F-R?
No, I'm not.
Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah, I never really got it. There's a bond for a bridge, and they don't start for 3 years, and that money's collecting money and interest. Where did that interest money go? That type of thing.
Yeah, that sort of thing. The implications are that at the state, every municipality and state, county, they all have to keep a comprehensive annual financial report, and some of the money is hidden. And they come up and based on the budget, they say, oh my gosh, we're going broke. When in fact, they've got stacks of money back in the comprehensive annual financial report and the accounts that are based on that CAFR report. And again, it's deception, deception, deception. And what does it mean? And will there be a day when government comes clean and says, guess what? It's like those people found $10 million in gold out there in California in the last couple of days. On the field, we just open up this can out in the backyard. And we got billions of dollars in it. No.
Yeah.
Where is the money?
Judgment Day will tell all.
Where's the money going right now?
I'll let you go, but I thought I'd just lay those issues on you.
All right, Dave. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for the emails too.
Yeah. All right. Anytime I get some good stories, I'll send them your way.
Alrighty, Dave. Thank you.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Mm-hmm. You know, but this business about the comprehensive annual financial reports, they are an actual accounting of how much money you spent last year. They're a real accounting where the budget is a projection of what you're going to spend next year. It's nothing but a certain amount of wishful thinking. And they don't include everything in the budget, and they don't include all of the sources of income. And so the budget comes out, and it's calculated, and where they have just enough money to match the revenue they admit to receiving. But they receive far more revenue, and they've been squirreling it away and using it for purposes that I don't know, I can't know. But the comprehensive annual report stories are valid. I have no doubt, in part because I picked up a copy of the Texas Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for Beck. Oh, must have been about 1996. It's now, 18 years or something like that since I've actually seen one. But in that Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, they had $1 billion. I'm trying to think the numbers now. It was more than $1 billion. It was $1 trillion that they had going in and out of one little account called the Texas. I can't remember the name anymore. Again, it's been too many years. But the state budget was $20 billion. And they had either $100 billion or $1 trillion that went in and out of one account. And it balanced out because they had $1 trillion in and $1 trillion out. So it zeroed on the account. You had to dig through the numbers, dig through, and it was 300-400 pages. But you dig through and you can find these things. And the government has masses of money that it's not reporting. And what is it doing with it? It's not helping the American people. I don't know what they're doing with it. I don't know if they're keeping it for themselves or saving it for a rainy day or lending it to foreign countries. I don't know what they're doing. But it should be devoted to the best interests of the American people, and that's not happening. So what's going to happen? What does that indicate? It indicates the government's not working for your benefit and mine. That's the first indication. Whatever their excuses and rationale, they are not working for your benefit and my benefit. And all by itself, that's just another leaf in the breeze that says we're headed for some trouble. People are going to figure this out. And when they do, they're going to set their heels and just sit down on the ground, and they're not going to necessarily work. They're just going to say, I'm not going to work until I get a straight answer from you people in government. Tell us what's really going on here. Yeah. When will that happen, Melody? When are we going to get straight answers from government?
Well, there was a lady who's not going to work anymore because she's getting her Obamacare. She doesn't have to depend on her employer anymore to provide the benefit of health care. So, you know, now she can quit her job and sign up for Obamacare. So, you know, hey.
I actually know.
What?
You know, the man who's the minister at the church I go to, he's also an executive. During the week, he's an executive at a concrete production plant, and he's had one driver come up to him. You know, they make the concrete, they mix, put in the mixers, and drive out to lay the foundation for your homes or drive to buildings and where it gets pumped up to however high to build new concrete structures and so on. He's had one driver come up to him and just tell him, look, I'm going to quit. He says, I like you, and I like the job, but, you know, you guys got to work too hard. He says, I can get $36,000 a year on welfare right now. He was working the system as well as he could, but he could get $36,000 a year to just sit on his butt and stay home and watch TV. And he says, why should I work when I can get that much money on welfare and unemployment? How can the country hold together with that when that mentality is possible? You know, how long do you think it is before a lot of people are saying, wait a second, you mean I could get 36 grand a year just sitting around?
Well, that's
temptation. That's a temptation that's hard for a lot of people to resist.
Well, you know, we've seen it happen in foreign countries. We've seen it happen in Europe. Hey, it was great. They could retire at 50, 55, and you know, all sorts of things. They only have to work 20 hours a week. Heck, the French was working, 5 hours a week or something.
Where are they today?
And we see what happens. And, you know, we talk about when people retire, if they retire too early, you know, that's what Bob Chapman was always used to say. If you retire, you die. You know, working gives you
it adds something to your life that
no
amount of money can compensate for. You really need that job. You have to have something that you believe in that makes your life valuable. And when you just kick back, I don't know what the numbers are today, but I remember when I was a young man. The statistics back there was the average man died about 3 years after he retired. Now, I don't know what it is today. I don't think we're as dependent on work for a sense of meaning as we were perhaps 50 years ago. But that's not necessarily a good thing. Some people would say, you know, you can't just work, work, work. That can't be your whole life. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. But when you reach a mentality that you agree that you don't need to work, work, work to be a success in life, even in your own mind, even if you're not rich, you still have a job and you're making if you can relax and say, give me some welfare, I'm good to go. It's ultimately contrary to the best interests of the community and the society. And it'll bring us all down.
Well, look, I mean, we can compare everything with the amount of checks that come from Washington. Look at the number of people on depression medications. You know, I'm not saying they're not all working, and I'm sure there's people working, and you know, but it's a high volume of people. I mean, why do people need to be medicated?
Because there's money to be made. That's why.
Yes. Yeah,
they don't
pay
up.
Yeah.
That's what it really comes down to. It becomes an extortion racket. How much medication is actually serving the people's best interests, or is the medication environment we live in, is it really there primarily to enrich the pharmaceutical corporations? And the answer may not be clear. The answer may be both.
Both.
But just the same, it shouldn't be.
No.
It should be primarily to help people and forget that. We'll give them drugs whether they need them or not, and we'll keep the money for ourselves.
And here's money that's going to be going to the grocery stores. You know, we talk about inflation now. Cattle rise to record. Cattle futures rose to a record. And you have ranchers that, you know, are trying to boost the U.S. herd from a 63-year low.
Yeah, but that's in part because of the drought we've had.
There's a drought, and there's also been, and also to the hogs. They had a virus that killed more than 4 million pigs. But what does this mean to you and me? It means that at the grocery store, you're going to be paying 3.5% more for your meat this year compared with
that. If that's all we have to pay, I'm not going to complain about that.
Huh?
But I'm going to be much surprised if the price of steak a year from now is only 3.5% higher than it is today. I'm going to bet you it'll be 3.5% higher within a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to be surprised. 3.5% a year. I'm not going to riot over that. But 10%, 15%, 20%. That'll be enough to get me talking to myself. I may start talking, doing these radio programs for free, Melody, just like therapy. You understand?
Well, you know, they
just give me a chance to sit back here. It's like having a shrink, and I'll just complain about my problems. And
there's this one Ruth's Hospitality Group. They said beef inflation. Ruth's Hospitality Group is based in Florida. A steakhouse owner says it may. Inflation may accelerate 4% to 8% in 2014.
Yeah.
So
that sounds more likely to me than 2.2%.
Well, that's a government number.
Shooting for. I understand.
Three and a half for the grocery store. So, yeah, you know, higher prices, folks. And,
Well, what have we got? 45 seconds left. Here's a quote from John Williams at shadowstats.com, and he's speaking from the government mentality. And he's pointing out that if the economy will not grow, just redefine it. The U.S. economy continues to stagnate and turn down anew as part of the deepest and longest economic downturn seen since the Great Depression. With actual business activity moribund, the U.S. government has once again turned to redefining a major economic series so as to boost reported activity. The government is telling us there's happy days are here again, and they're not. How long can that last? How long can they continue to get away with that before people realize and this whole thing goes south? I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Thanks for listening. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's